Ohio seniors make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
If you want to be great, the burning sensation is you having to accept that you've fucked something up, not far as far along in the journey as you want to be, and what you have to learn how to do. If you want to be great, you have to learn to let it burn. And even though your impulse is going to be to turn away from that, to not look at it, to soothe it by saying it's them, it's their fault, they fucked it up, I grew up in the wrong place, like whatever excuse you use to try to let yourself off the hook for not being where you want to be, instead of saying, actually, the power is the ability to let it burn.
Not only is it possible, that's probably the best time to do it. When circumstances and situations are pressing in upon us, the only way we can overcome them is to go within, to actually begin to ask very empowering questions with the awareness that this universal presence and its law will answer any question that you ask. So if you're in a situation that is pressing on you and you ask, what's trying to emerge in my life? What is my gift to share? What is my purpose? Why am I here on the planet? Not just how can I pay my rent, not just how can I stop the pain. You ask empowering questions, the universe will answer these questions in a language and in a way that you can understand.
What is it, what is the one power that you have right now in this moment that can change everything? You have it, I have it, we all have it. This one singular individual power that can change anything in our life, regardless of what's happened to us.
I want to find more. All I can. And in that sack of shit, you have to dive in that to find more. Because if you're not willing to go in there and face yourself, I can find anything. You can live right here on surface, man, right here on surface. So if there is an ending to this world and there is somewhere to go and there's a judgment, you're gonna get there and you might see a chart. And that chart might tell you who the f*** you should have been. And now you get the rest of your life to think about that. Man, I could have lived a much better life if I just would have just suffered a little bit more.
Whatever your answer is, you can do it right now, today, starting today, right? It's still possible. You can start doing that right now. It's empowering the present with the future. There is nothing stopping you from making it happen right now. You don't have to feel that way when you're 70. You don't have to feel that way when you're 80. You never, ever have to feel that way if you start doing it right now. And you can do it right now. Even if it feels impossible, you can start working on it right now. You can start trying right now. You can start making plans right now because you're not there yet.
We create our own reality. So that will be true for me. I'm saying you're going to come out the other side of this and you will be unstoppable. Your back's against the wall. You got work to do. Like, let's go.
You want to make a change? You have to change your vision of who you are. You have to begin telling yourself a different narrative. And the narrative you tell yourself about yourself is everything.
It is far more fun to die on your sword than to die on someone else's.
Always have this belief. If you want to be successful at anything in life, never leave the sight of setting a goal without doing something that commits you to fulfillment.
Be able to go inside of your own soul and remember why you came to earth. You did not come to walk lockstep in the status quo. You did not walk to come to just adapt to how you've been imprinted. You have come to transform your life, wake up again and remember your soul call, and then be of service with effluence, generosity, giving as your inquiry every single day, and you will discover by law, the universe by law will bring you your assignments every single day.
Adopt the mode of authentic being, and that is something like refusing to participate in the lie, in deception and the lie, to orient your speech as much as you can towards the truth, and to take responsibility for your own life and perhaps also for the lives of other people. And there's something about that that's meaningful and responsible and noble, but also serves to mitigate the very suffering that produces, say, the nihilism or the escape into the arms of totalitarians to begin with.
The hunger that doesn't go away, that hunger to be more, to do more, to give more, that hunger that never ends.
Look, when you start deciding that it's time to change, you may have to use 5-4-3-2-1 5,000 times a day, because you're pushing through self-doubt and you're pushing through procrastination and you're pushing through resignation and you're pushing through fear over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. If you use 5-4-3-2-1 and you push through everything that's stopping you right now, because you, this is your year, this is the moment that you're going to change, at some point something's going to click and the momentum's going to kick in, and suddenly change isn't going to be scary. Change is going to be what's happening.
Stop judging yourself through the lens of a moment and start judging yourself through the lens of 10 years. If you think of yourself in 10-year increments, like, you will blow your mind. So if you're embarrassed today about where you are, don't compare yourself even to yesterday, which may not soothe that and encourage you to push forward. Think back 10 years. But if you think back to where you were 10 years, chances are, like, you're gonna be blown away with how far you come. And so then it's like, all right, then I'm just gonna focus my gaze 10 years in the future and start saying, what would I have to do to be somewhere where I'd be blown away then where I'm at now? The pride that I'm going to establish is actually around my willingness to look at the fact that I'm not good right now today.
We are most alive, we have the most energy, we are most intimate with our best selves when we're progressing towards our mighty mission. I think what's happened on the planet right now is there's been a great seduction and a great brainwashing. When we are kids, we want to be astronauts. We want to do all our dreams, and we're full of curiosity and we're loving.
and we're passionate, we're strong. We're not afraid to be ourselves. But as we leave the perfection of childhood, the hypnosis and the brainwashing begins. Be reasonable. So that's our nature, but our parents give us limitation based on their limited psychology. And don't sing too loudly, don't dream too big, don't be too passionate. As we've left who we truly are, we've contracted. And now it's all about staying safe in the world versus going out there and letting our brilliance, our primal genius shine. And a lot of people just have stuffed that pain of disappointment and their doubt really deep inside. And they just are addicted to distraction and escapes because they don't want to deal with their potential that they've denied.
Before you can be a painter who can paint what's beyond mere memory, you have to inculcate that discipline, skill, and a lot of that is painful repetition and hard grinding work. It's the sacrifice of the present for the future. But once you manage that, then things open up, and virtually everything you learn of value is like that. And while you're learning those rules, the probability that you have any creative freedom to speak of or any facility with the rules is very low. You're a rank beginner. And even to some degree, whatever creativity you have is going to have to be stifled while you're passing through that keyhole. But if you pass through it, then something massive opens up on the other side. You have to narrow yourself first, and then you can broaden outward.
Anybody, not just Navy SEALs, but anybody that can accomplish anything that is hard, the only separator is that they really want to be there. There's some people that get inspired and that inspiration moves them to try to do something. But the inspiration, I watch a movie about some badasses, you're inspired. But the second you're not in this environment and you're actually doing what inspired you, that suck factor is now real.
One of the real reasons we don't do the things that frighten us is because we are afraid of being judged. And so to become fearless, why not find some time every day to practice becoming fearless? Stop resisting. I encourage you, stop resisting the natural flow of epic performance. Stop resisting the natural seasons of life.
But something that the more somebody goes after it, the better off I'm going to be, the more it's going to push me towards my goals. And that thing is, and if somebody has a better answer, I will take it. But the only way to build your ego that is truly anti-fragile that I have found is to be the learner, to be willing to admit when you're wrong, to look at your goal and work backwards and say, is what I'm doing actually moving me towards my goal or not? Not does it make me feel good about myself? Not am I right? Not am I smart? Is it moving me towards my goal? And if it is, then you do it. And if it doesn't, then you don't.
It is better to live courageously than cowardly. Better to live truthfully than in deceit. And you can tell that too, because that's also what you tell people that you love. And we know that you should pick up your damn responsibility and move forward. Everyone knows that. It's part of our intrinsic moral nature, and that nature is there.
Greatest heartbreak is being untrue to yourself. There's something I believe in, which is instinct is much more powerful and wiser than intellect. And I think when all of us trust our instinct in a world that says intellect and logic is everything, find your destiny doesn't knock, it whispers. And so it wasn't this epiphany, you know, it was just, I think when you start to trust your instinct and trust yourself versus the world, and you sort of block out the opinions of other people, the pace of synchronicity starts to open up and these doors that you're supposed to walk through start to present themselves to you.
But if you want to have the passion to make something big, to make big change, it's got to be something that you believe in beyond reasonable doubt. It's got to be something you've just got to make happen. So ask yourself, do I want to know more about this than anyone else? Because you're going to have to get better at it than anyone else if you want to be excellent and deliver on the promise.
That's the ethical requirement of individual being in the proper sense, is to constantly note that you're not what you could be, to take responsibility for that, and to commit yourself, like body and soul, to the attainment of that ideal.
For some people, it's been asleep for a long time because they're afraid. They're afraid that I'm going to get hungry, I'm going to try, I'm going to fail. And so it's human nature to protect yourself from the fear by just lowering your expectations. But one of the things I've learned is you get what you tolerate. You get what you tolerate in yourself, you get what you tolerate in your life. And sooner or later, we sometimes hit a point where we say, not another day, not another hour, this is done. I'm not walking this way, I'm not talking this way, I'm not living this way. I'm not going to be in this relationship anymore, I'm going to change it. And when people do that, that's the beginning of a breakthrough.
Achieving things. It's not about getting the result. It's about how you pursue the things that you enjoy and why you're pursuing them. And so the key to life, and I'm seeing it happen in my own life, is not actually checking the boxes and getting all those things that you dream about. It's how you go about living your life as you're pursuing it. What do I have to look forward to? Nothing if you've already achieved it, which is why it's so important for you to understand that the real meaning of happiness is about how you show up every day. Yes, you should have big goals. Yes, you should have big dreams. Yes, 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 and yes, you should pursue them. But don't ever think that, quote, making your dreams come true is what actually makes you happy. Because what actually makes you happy is having those big dreams and waking up every morning and doing a little something to push yourself to make them happen. It's about the pursuit.
People that are hungry are willing to do the things today others won't do in order to have the things tomorrow others won't have.
You have to discover what your values are. It's part of the reason why I think that you need to tell the truth, because you're forced to negotiate with yourself to operate properly in the world. And if you've warped yourself, let's say, or some elements of yourself by engaging in self-deception and lies, And you're not, now, because of that, you're not who you could be, and you don't live in the world as you should live in it, then when you discuss with yourself what your value should be, it will be as if you're discussing it with someone that you can't trust.
You learn more in the middle of a crisis, or when your life has that moment of a downtrot. There is more wisdom and knowledge, instincts, intuitions, discernment, and instincts that are developed in the middle of a crisis.
The truth is that you are going to suffer, but the way to deal with suffering is accepting that suffering and then recognizing that it is suffering, accepting it, and then letting it sort of have its say, and then moving on from it.
All of the power that you have and all of the strength that you have and all the ideas that you have are born in your uniqueness. What makes you unique is what makes you special. You spend your whole life trying to conform, trying to be what somebody else thinks you should be or fit into a mold or fit into a system, and you dull down your specialness, then you're dulling down all of your ability to change the world. people. So I think that it's very, very important that people have an opportunity to be the best of themselves that they can be.
Actually, we should play like champions and train like underdogs. Why? Because the underdog works in a way, not worrying about what anybody else thinks or believes. That gives you an edge. It gives you a phenomenal advantage. When you're not actually worried about what will people say, when you're not concerned by, am I going to fail? Am I going to look worse? See, when we become successful, even as underdogs, if we've risen to success, the biggest enemy of that success is not reconnecting to that feeling of an underdog. So no matter how much success you've achieved, always remind yourself the mindset of an underdog is the mindset that nurtures talent, that nurtures success, that harnesses your true potential.
If you value yourself for being a master, if your confidence comes from, I know this stuff, then you're gonna be in trouble. Because I think that the reality is that being a master, feeling like you're an expert, that stuff is a trap, and you need to keep your beliefs nimble. So the more you learn, the more you need to be checking yourself to make sure that that stuff isn't calcifying into dogma, meaning that it becomes like, I do it this way, and that's the way I do it, that's the way I've always done it, that's what my success is based on, so I'm going to keep doing it. That becomes incredibly dangerous, especially now in a world that changes and evolves so quickly. What worked yesterday may not keep working tomorrow. So you've got to constantly be willing to check your assumptions.
The things that you're feeling, clenching up, feeling like you're not good enough, feeling like you're not ready, doubting yourself, kind of spending too much time thinking about how much time you've wasted. You cannot overcome those thoughts because they keep rising up and they've become a habit. It's sort of a pattern. You are going to feel like an imposter until you push through that clenched up moment over and over and over again. And then suddenly, through action language, you're going to see that you're not an imposter at all. You're actually the kind of person that pushes through and does what he or she says they are going to do.
When you get tired, when you get fatigued, when you get down, when you're in a slump, it's your habits, rituals, routines, and your standards that carry you through. And if you don't have good habits, you don't have good rituals, you don't have good routines, always in your life you will fall down in bad times, in slumps, in fatigue, and in stress.
You've got to know every no brings you a step closer to a yes. Anybody can stop because someone said no, but there's something in you, in your heart of hearts, that's saying, I'm not a quitter. There's something in you that says, I've got the will to do it. There's something in you that says, I'm going to find a way.
You can't straighten yourself out merely as a consequence of hope. Let's say you lay out a vision for the future and you think about what your life would be, what you'd like your life to be like. And then that makes you hopeful and it motivates you because it gives you something worthwhile and higher order to work for, right? And that's useful. That's positive emotion working for you because positive emotion is experienced in relationship to goals. But it's not as useful as also being chased by something you're terrified by. And if you have a good sense of how you'd fall apart if you stayed weak and just exactly what kind of hell that would be, then when you determine to do something, like to tell the truth and to say what you think and to not do things that you hate, then you're going to be pulled along by the purpose that your vision has provided for you, but also pushed along by your desire to avoid the worst forms of hell that you've already outlined for yourself.
And we want to be them. We want to be someone else. And in doing that, you lose all the potential of who you are. You mimic. You be them. You are them. You become them. And you lose you. And we look up to so many people in this world who will let us down. We're humans. I'm going to let you down. You're going to let somebody down. And you put them on a pedestal, you then lose time when that person comes up and lets you down. You must hold yourself accountable and being your own hero, that's what that does. You make yourself so totally accountable for who you are. You focus on you and only on you to become the best person you can be for others. Because we leave a lot on the table not searching who we are. And then therefore, you die not knowing your greatest potential. So you want to be normal. So you just want to be like everybody else that roams the world, not knowing the power that's in them, being fine with being mediocre.
Your dreams are the most powerful thing. Without a dream, there's, again, no point in being here. And we are lost without dreams. So find the time on a daily basis to dream and pursue your dream. Whatever that looks like, be on the pursuit of your dream.
I really believe that you have to seek the love and the beauty that you want in what you have now. Because that way you're training yourself to extract meaning right now, which means in the short term, if you can fill that role with meaning and your true passion and what's coming from you, then that's going to lead you to discovering the power of it.
Because life is essentially tragic in its fundamental essence, you need a sustaining meaning that's deep and profound, and deep and profound enough to get you through bad times, because there will be very bad times in your life. There'll be death, and there'll be illness, and there'll be disappointment of all sorts. And there'll be just the standard difficulties of life in the world to contend with. And you really must have something that's profound and powerful to set up against that. And I think that your voluntary adoption of the struggle to improve being is the proper antidote to that.
Have to understand the fundamental truth of this life. You can always make a different decision, which will lead to a different outcome.
Success is not how much money or how much power you have. Success is how well do you do what you do when no one else is looking and keep on doing it. Successful people do all the things that successful people don't want to do.
So you've got to be realistically humble. You've got to be ambitious enough in your goals so that you're pursuing something that you regard as truly meaningful and worthwhile. So you want your goals to be of sufficient nobility so that you can live with yourself properly if you're pursuing them, but you want them to be small enough so that you have a reasonable probability of implementing them.
Life outside of that one area, most of us are worried about suffering. We're afraid of it. When we're suffering and sacrificing, we wonder whether it's worth it. We wonder whether we're supposed to. We wonder whether sacrifice or setbacks or suffering is a sign it's not our real dream, don't we? And your body is a metaphor for the rest of your life. But the rest of our life, every time we sweat, every time we sacrifice, every time we suffer, we don't do what we do at the gym. We start saying, well, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. Maybe I'm not cut out. Maybe it's not my destiny. Maybe I just can't do it.
You've got to remember that any challenge we're facing today, we've faced it before as humanity. Changing the stories we tell ourselves, we can either look at challenging situations as opportunities for growth, as an opportunity to learn, as an opportunity to change, be the change, or we can look at them and really feel down. Now, that second part is okay. We can even feel like that, right? But we have to recognize it's not permanent. We've got to accept that none of our feelings are permanent. They don't need to be permanent, it's a choice. But recognize that those feelings are not permanent, and it'll be amazing when we realize we are seeds, right? That is the most powerful way of finding strength.
You get hungry by finding something that's you. I believe that all of us are born unique, but most of us die copies. And so the key to that hunger-driven life is a heart-centered life. I didn't do what I'm doing for years because of my programming, because of the culture in which I was raised in. But you have to work on yourself, and you have to have an unstoppable attitude, and no excuse is acceptable, and you've got to make it a priority, a non-negotiable in your life, and hold a constant vision of what it is you want to achieve, see it accomplished, and go all out. Find a way to win.
You're always up and down. It's like your energy levels will go up and down and you'll be exhausted. Everything is tied around a story of this is bad, this is wrong, I'm in a bad place, I'm messing up, I'm going broke. That energy is going to pull you away from service or creation or creativity of how do I get out of this place.
Assuming that you have a certain intrinsic value, it's necessary for that value to manifest itself, for you to push yourself against the world, to challenge yourself. Otherwise, what you're capable of won't manifest itself. It has to be developed. It has to be called forth by necessity, right? You have to pick a hard problem and try to solve it and push yourself against it and you have to try to do that truthfully and responsibly in order for what it is that you're intrinsically capable of and composed of to come to the forefront. Encourage people to be responsible for themselves and for other people, and also to point out that you have a moral responsibility to do so for yourself just as you do for others.
There's a gap between the world and the things that trigger you and your response. And your entire life is that gap. And when you start to understand that your whole life plays out in this 5-second gap, and that there's a gap that's 5 seconds long between fear and courage, and there's a gap that's 5 seconds long between self-doubt and confidence. That is your life. And what's super cool about understanding that your whole life is inside this gap is it's so small, everybody, that you have the ability to control it. Life's always gonna throw triggers at you, and there will always be all kinds of cool things that inspire you, your wisdom. And you get to choose what happens in that gap. Do you succumb to an excuse, or do you push yourself forward? And so that gap is everywhere, and it's the same everywhere. And when you start to go to work in controlling how you live in that gap between stimulus or idea and your response, that's where the magic is.
We're built for struggle, us human beings. We're built to contend with the world. We're built to contend with reality. You want a challenge, and the best way that you can take on a challenge, because a challenge fortifies you, so you don't want to be secure, you want to be strong, and you get strong by taking on optimal challenges. Life is bounded by mortality, but that doesn't mean that you don't get out there and contend, and you develop by contending, and you minimize the net amount of suffering in the world. And that's something, man. That's something to do.
They have a negative attitude where they think that, well, if I don't do anything, if I just be a slacker, at least I won't fail and I can kind of make I feel myself feel better that I'm the best slacker that there is. You know, if you don't try too hard, you're never going to fail. You're never going to have the pain of failure. So that's the negative side of insecurity. But it can also motivate you to try even harder, to actually get work done and to make it something really great and to doubt yourself constantly.
The future, we don't know. The past, it's gone. Now, the only thing you can deal with is what's right here, right now. And if you look, the sand is always moving. Point is this. This is all we've got right here, right now. We don't know how much we have left in the future, but we do know what we've got now. And I have found the people that win are the people who make up their mind. They're not going to waste the minutes. They're going to be productive. They're going to make it happen every minute.
No matter how far you get in life, you have to be able to go back to scratch in your mind at a moment's notice. You can never get so far beyond scratch. What that means is when you accomplish something in life, if you're going to go back to scratch and visit that place for a long period of time, if you were here when you went back to scratch, you would now be here. Scratch is what makes you better. Scratch, friction, obstacles create growth. There's no friction when you're this far up in the game anymore. So your comforts are now, so your discomfort is now very minuscule to your discomfort back here. So you have to go back to the total discomfort to then raise your level of where you're at now.
I think in the end, persistence is more important than anything else, and having a desire to do something. You want to prove something, so you have a vision of where you want to go, you're willing to persist and overcome. That's probably the key thing. You have to have a vision of where you want to go, you have to persist in it, you have to be willing to overcome failures and not be afraid of making a mistake.
When you're down and out, first thing people do is blame it on everybody else but themselves. When you start taking responsibility, you have a little different outlook.
More radical the necessary change, the more pain that accompanies it. Like the more opportunity as well. And a lot of what we learn painfully. And so it's not surprising that people shrink away from learning. We learn in pain and anxiety very frequently. Everyone knows that. It's like the things that you really learned in life. It's like, it was no joy, man. Like it took you out. And so the fact that people flee from that is hardly surprising. But it doesn't help, that's the thing. It just stores up the catastrophe for later. The better idea is to eat a little poison every day so that you don't have to overdose in a month. You tend not to learn unless you're forced to learn. And what you tend to learn by force are difficult lessons. And so people are very prone to not seek that out. It's not surprising. But it's because they don't understand the consequences very well. Any way of forestalling it. All you do is make it worse in the future. You make yourself smaller and you make the lesson harder. But you have to have a very tragic, I would say, view of reality, and also a harsh one, because it's not just tragedy, it's also malevolence. You have to understand that those are waiting for you. And that makes you desperate enough to learn. And that might be make you desperate enough to fall out of your ideology. But that's a hard way of looking at the world. It beats living through it, though.
You just have to know the first step to take. And when you take that step, you're going to find that your conditions, your circumstance, and environment will change. Then you see how you have to make the next step. It's a matter of adapting all the time. You only have to know two things. You have to know where you're going, and you have to know that you're going to get there. You've got to see it in your mind. Now, this is the beautiful scenario. This is what it's all about. Save that in your mind and think of it often. Think. Every time you think of your goal and you're trying to figure out how you're going to do it,
Think of that vertical wall of ice. What's the next step? That's all you really have to know. One step at a time, and you'll get to wherever you're going.
You get to choose your life. You get to choose how you feel, not other people. There's these illusions in life. We really can't control anything other than our own thoughts, our own behavior, our own patterns. We can't control what other people do, say, or think.
It's an opportunity, and the opportunity is on many levels to rethink your life, to rethink your values, to rethink where you're going, to rethink what your career should be, what your relationship to other people should be. It's a way, it's a time to reorient yourself to who you are and what you like and what you know, what your goals are and what makes you unique. If you take that attitude, then the obstacle is the way. If you have that attitude where obstacles are actually the path forward, nothing's going to stop you. But it's all how you look at things. It's kind of a mental process that you switch to seeing the positive side.
Truth of the matter is that you have a lot of potential as a child, but none of that is capable of manifesting itself as freedom before you become disciplined. And discipline is a matter of the imposition of order, and the order is necessary, especially for people who are hopeless and nihilistic. And lots of people are hopeless and nihilistic. Way more people than you think. And part of that is because no one's ever really encouraged them. Lay a disciplinary structure on yourself. Get the chaos in check. And then you can move towards a state that's freer. Because it's discipline first. Comes out of that is a much grander freedom. And so virtually every freedom that you have in life that's true freedom is purchased at the price of discipline.
Most people half-ass half their life all the time. I knew they were going to get tired. They were going to flinch. They were going to get down. They quit improving themselves. They start sleeping in. I'm going to keep getting wide. I'm going to stay relentless. Don't give in to the fears. Don't give in to the setbacks. You're going to have failure. It's part of the game.
Why am I here? If you don't know that, you will live the rest of your life searching, always asking the question, why?
So if you're not in a place where you're in love with life, or in love with yourself, or practicing diminishing your emotional reactions to certain people or conditions in your life, and you're living in anger or hostility or judgment or fear, and you want a loving relationship, there is no magnetic field for you to draw that to you. And in fact, if you say to me, well, it's that person or that circumstance that's caused me to feel this way, then I would say, I mean, that person or that circumstance is controlling the way you feel and the way you think. And anything that controls the way we feel and the way we think, we are victims to, right? So most people are unconsciously responding to the conditions in their environment, experiencing emotions that are derived from the hormones of stress. Those emotions cause us to feel separate from our dreams. They heighten our senses, so if we can't see them, it doesn't exist. The threat or the danger puts us in emergency mode. And we can think positively about the relationship we want. We could send the signal out into the field. We could have pictures. We could remind ourselves of what it is. But if you're not drawing the experience back to you, then you will be, as a victim, more vulnerable to the conditions in your environment, whether large or small. And this is the insight. Many people think that they lack motivation when what they really lack is clarity. They think that they need to get more motivated, that they need willpower in order to execute on a habit. If I just felt like writing, if I just felt like meditating, if I felt like working out, then I would do it. But in fact, they don't have a plan for it, so they wake up each day thinking, I wonder if I'll feel motivated to write today. I wonder if I'll feel motivated to work out today. But instead, you can take the decision-making out of it by explicitly stating when, where, and how you want to implement the habit.
Life is short. It's going by a gazillion miles an hour. We got one shot at this. We might as well squeeze
every bit of juice out of life we possibly can. Winners win when no one else is watching. How many foul shots do you think Michael Jordan took when no one else was in the gym? You're doing the work when no one else is watching. And when you soar, let them admire you. Let them envy you. In fact, be the inspiration to pull some people with you.
Can you go to your mistakes? Can you go to your weaknesses, right? Can you go to other people's mistakes and weaknesses? Some people, because of an ego barrier, can't do that. It's the process, essentially, of saying, what am I like? Everybody has strengths and everybody has weaknesses. The weaknesses are the other side of the strengths.
Life is one big mind game. And you're playing it with yourself.
Tranquility is the new luxury. And we are most true to our best selves when we're tranquil, peaceful, and serene.
Because I'm not naturally gifted. I don't have any natural talents. And all of us are born as this lump of jelly that can't hold its own head up. And we all learn to do things. And it's that ability to specialize that makes us great. And the things that you choose to put your time and energy into, those are going to be the things that allow you to accomplish something. But all of that is a choice.
You're not going to think your way to passion. You can't think your way to finding something that you feel in your heart. It doesn't work that way. You got to feel your way into it. It's inside of you. Do you understand?
The economy is going to change no matter what you want it to do. The weather is going to change. Relationships are going to change. Everything in life is always changing. We don't have to work on change. Change is automatic, but progress is not. So if you want to make real progress, then you really got to look at your life in a different way. You got to say, I got to take control of this process and not just hope it's going to work out like people do who make a resolution.
You have to go dark. What I mean by that is you have to be quiet in your mind. Get away from people. We love being around people. We love talking. We love parties. We love all that. It's okay to be alone. It's also okay to be unhappy. It's okay to be unhappy sometimes, man. It's okay to say, you know what, man? I'm f***ed up. So you gotta go to the truth first. Who are you? Get really accountable and say, okay, who am I? What's the truth about me? Get to that dark place in your mind. Figure out, it may take months, it may take years. Figure out your purpose. Figure out what you want to be in life. And then from there, okay, I have my purpose. It may take a long time. No one knows their purpose because it's too loud. Find your purpose. From there, all right, you got to start planning. People love the planning phase because it's very comfortable. Then from the planning phase, you gotta go to execution. So the execution phase, what we all hate, because that's where the real work begins, and that's when the failure happens, and the failure, and the failure.
When you live for a lifetime, not just your life cycle, but a lifetime, you live for the legacy. I'm writing my legacy now. You won't sweat the small stuff anymore. You won't get caught up in gossip. You won't get caught up in living inside worry. You might worry, but worry does not have permission to take up real estate in your body.
And so, for example, if you're going to treat yourself properly, which you should, you have to treat yourself as an iterated process across time properly. So you today, you tomorrow, you next week, you next month. But the right place to start is with the things that are within your local control, and there's some humility in that. It certainly has nothing to do with instantaneous self-gratification or selfishness.
You teach your body emotionally what the future will feel like before it's made manifest. That means you can't wait for your relationship to feel love. You have to reverse that battleship and understand feeling love is going to be the magnet. And if you can hold the vision of your future, a clear intention, with a coherent brain, organize signals into the field, and you could actually crack this thing open and practice getting so present in the moment that you're not anticipating the next moment or trying to predict the future, and you're no longer romancing the emotions of your past, you can find that sweet spot of the generous present moment. The familiar past is the known emotionally. The predictable future is the habituation of autopilot, being unconscious, and programs. Those are both knowns. There's only one place where the unknown exists. That's the present moment.
We were born to do something. You're here to do a work. The two most important moments in our lives, the day that we're born and the day that we realize why we were born. And if you don't know, if you want to live a life of misery, don't try and find out. But if you want to live a life that has meaning and value and a sense of direction, spend as much time as you possibly can answer the question, why am I here?
If you're not being defined by a vision of the future, then you're left with the old memories of the past and you will be predictable in your life. And if you wake up in the morning and you're not being defined by a vision of the future, as you see the same people and you go to the same places and you do the exact same thing at the exact same time, it's no longer that your personality is creating your personal reality. Now your personal reality is affecting or creating your personality. Your environment is really controlling how you think and feel unconsciously, because every person, everything, every place, every experience has a neurological network in your brain. Every experience that you have with every person produces an emotion. So now they need the outer world to feel something. So to change them is to be greater than your environment.
I certainly think everybody, you know, should figure it out. You should figure it out for yourself, because time's going to go by either way, and you can live a life of happenstance, of reaction, you know, or you can take some time to figure out how you want to spend your time, who you want to be, who you want to be at work, who you want to be as a parent, who you want to be as a spouse, and on and on and on. And you know, you can try to be that person. You can try to live that life.
Because it's not something I'm used to yet, is making up stories to cling to the old way of life. This is a moment in time, everyone, please. This is the greatest gift. The greatest gift is this moment of pause where you get in touch with what you actually want. Because if you need skills to prepare yourself for the thing that you want, get them right now.
Always have a choice. Your mind talks to your body all the time. That's its job, and your job is to tell your mind what you want. I want perfect health. I don't do illness, I do wellness. Tell my mind I feel amazing. Tell my mind when I'm working out, my body loves this. My muscles love this, I can do a bit more.
Don't ask what is the meaning of life. Ask what is the meaning of my life. What am I supposed to do? What is this work? And I believe there's a work for us to do, that there's something that if we don't do it, then the world will be deprived. And finding out what that something is, that element, the element is when the what you love to do and what you were born to do come together, that will allow you to show up in life in a bigger way.
What I want you to do if you're in Vicky's situation is I want you to stop dreaming and I want you to just start doing small things.
If you don't have a goal, a transcendent goal, say something that's beyond you, then you don't have any positive emotion. And that's not good, because you have plenty of negative emotion. And then that's the problem with fundamental claims of meaninglessness too in life. That It's the philosophical error that's made by nihilists. You know, that suffering is a form of meaning. And you can try to argue yourself out of that with your nihilistic rationalizations, but that is not going to work. You need a transcendent goal in order to withstand the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune.
Is my dream really my dream? Or is it someone else's?
When you're willing to take control of your environment and put yourself through the stressors required for adaptation, you literally can become anything.
When you live in a dominant culture that is designed to destroy your sense of self and your belief in yourself, and you have to learn ways in which you can begin to connect with this power that you have within yourself to handle where you are. The key is to be constantly in a perpetual process of discovering the truth of who you are and fighting constantly to look for ways in which you can escape the inner conversation.
The most important step we ever take in life is our next one. A lot of us get our feet stuck in concrete. We get our feet stuck in concrete because we're afraid to make enemies. We're afraid to speak what's on our mind. We're afraid of being in that group of people. And when you walk away, we're afraid of what they might say behind your back. All that fear clouds your brain, clouds your thinking. One thing in life, you're going to always have haters. Embrace them.
That there's always a short-term and a long-term impact to the decision. The short-term impact to making an expansive decision, a decision that's based in your heart and your soul, sometimes it's terrifying because sometimes it means moving or it means changing a job or changing a relationship or having a difficult conversation or starting something new. And those sorts of things are always uncomfortable. So brace for impact, put the force fields up, but make the decision anyway. Because the long-term impact of making a decision from your heart and soul, that is where the best life comes from. Because you're living for what's true for you, not what's safe in the moment.
You see, if I borrow the dream from you or someone else, I won't pay that price. But if it's my dream, I mean, it's really my dream, then I'll pay that price.
The difference between vision and a goal is the finish line. A goal is 26.2 miles. You can simply count the metrics and know when you've completed your goal. A vision is having a crystal clear sense of what the finish line looks like, but no idea of how far away it is. And the reality is you will spend your entire life never actually crossing the finish line, but the joy that every marathon you complete, you feel like you're getting closer. Every milestone that you accomplish makes you feel like you're getting closer and closer to the ideal, and this is what gives our life and our work meaning.
If
just looking in the mirror and telling yourself the story that you want. I mean, and a lot of people tell the story that everybody else wants them to tell, right? So the marketing message is the story is being told from out here, and then you're bringing it to you. What you have to do is tell the story you want. I wanted to be the powerful person. I wanted to be the one that people looked up to. I wanted to be the person that was respected. I just started telling that story over and over in the mirror. I mean, it was as simple as that.
We suffer on all different levels of suffering. Some people suffer on a high level, some people suffer because is the job gonna get done? We have these moments of suffering, no matter if it's 5 minutes of suffering or an hour of suffering or months of suffering. Some people lose a relationship and they suffer for years. And if you can limit the time you suffer, the more you can work on the solutions that better your life.
I thought, how about I just leap with my imperfection and then find my form of perfecting my imperfection while I'm sorry. How about I do that? How about you not wait to get it right? You figure out, how does it look doing it wrong? How does that look? Because your 80% of right is somebody else's 159% of what they needed. And when you want to do it right and you want to wait till you're not afraid and you want to wait till you have it all together, oh, you made it about you again. See, Nelson Mandela did it. He just did it not knowing if it were right. Mahatma Gandhi just did it not knowing if it were right. Mother Teresa just did it not looking for affirmation or confirmation, is this right? Martin Luther King did it not even knowing if it would happen before his life ended.
Because I have a dream.
I mean, what are you waiting on? Are you willing to do it afraid?
Because you don't achieve worthwhile goals quickly or easily. They take time. They take struggle. They take relentless pursuit day in and day out. That's what it takes.
The quality of your life has nothing to do with how much money you have, how many beautiful children you have, how many people love you. The quality of your life is where you live emotionally. So we have to take control of what we focus on. We got to come up with new meanings, empowering meanings, and then that affects what your final decision is. What am I going to do?
And that's when I realized that there's two ways to see the world. Some people see the thing that they want, and some people see the thing that prevents them from getting the thing that they want.
Both of those things require hard work. You are in love because you work very hard every single day of your life to stay in love. You find a job that brings you ultimate joy because you work hard every single day to serve those around you and you maintain that joy. It's not a discovery. But the problem is the sense of impatience. It's as if an entire generation is standing at the foot of a mountain. They know exactly what they want. They can see the summit. What they can't see is the mountain. This large, immovable object. Life, career fulfillment, relationships are journeys. The problem is, this entire generation has an institutionalized sense of impatience, and do they have the patience to go on the journey to maintain love, to feel fulfilled, or do they just quit and onto the next, dump and onto the next, ghost and onto the next?
So let me just ask you again, I want to go back to this. Who in your life makes you feel bad about your dreams, your goals, your desires? Because those people are affecting you whether you realize it or not. When you have a desire for that next level, someone negative, someone trying to protect you, tells you shouldn't, you can't, you might say, no, I'm not listening to them. But even if 5% of that rubs off on you, then you might make different choices. You might play a little bit smaller than you need to. Your confidence could be crushed just a little bit more than it needs to be crushed. Do you think in today's world, do you think being good at something with most of your confidence is enough? Do you think being excellent with 90% of your confidence is enough? Hell no. You need to be freaking outstanding. You need to rock it with your confidence at 100%. And how can your confidence be at 100% if you're letting people in your life make you dim your glow, to lower your expectations, to play safer?
The woe is me mentality. It's too hard. Life isn't fair. These things in life are not easy for me. You look to your left, you look to your right, and you start to judge yourself off other people. We are judging ourselves against too many people. You have to judge yourself against yourself. And once you can silence all that, all the outside interference and things that are attracting your mind to everything, you can then start to grow in realizing, I'm stressed out for no reason.
It's all that thinking, that overthinking, that thinking too big. Thinking big is about dreams. Thinking big is about goals. Thinking big is about your heart and your soul and figuring out what you want. Then once you do that and you think big and you see where you're headed, boom, you got to come back and you got to go brick by brick to make that vision stick. You got to go brick by brick to make the action stick. You got to go brick by brick to lay that pathway forward and to keep going. And let me tell you something, I don't care how busy you are, I don't care how tired you are, I don't care how much there is to do to make this big dream forward, you have time to lay one brick a day. You really do. You really do. And this is the secret, everybody. This is the secret to everything. It's the understanding that there is no timeline to getting your dreams done. All there is to do is to allow your heart and soul to dream big, to see the path forward, and then to pull yourself into the moment every day and have the discipline to be deliberate, to lay one brick on that path. That's it. And to keep reminding yourself that everything that you're learning on the way as you lie bricks down and you move forward a little at a time is helping you build the path.
What you're going to do is trade your life. You're trading your life for whatever it is you're going after. Whatever your goal happens to be, whatever you are pursuing, make certain it's worthy of you because you're trading your life for it.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.